Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some interesting guests for you. In the first half, we have Mona Illerbrand. She's a teacher, scientist, animal trainer. And in the second half, we have Andrew Patterson, and he's going to teach us more about oxygen and the benefits of oxygen. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
The kind of teenager least interested in smoking appears to be the type most likely to try a cigarette after they experiment with vaping, a new study indicates. Overall, teens are four times more prone to trying traditional tobacco cigarettes if they've ever used an e-cigarette, the researchers said, but low-risk teens are nearly nine times more likely to try smoking after they've vaped. These low-risk teens don't drink or do drugs, show little affinity for frightening or exciting things, don't have much interest in trends, aren't curious about smoking, and would turn down a cigarette if offered one by a friend, said senior researcher Andrew Stokes. He's an assistant professor of global health at Boston University's School of Public Health. The findings were published online February the 1st in JAMA Network Open. Forests are changing in ways that could mean they emit more gases that contribute to smog, acid rain, and respiratory problems, a new study suggests. This study has profound implications for future air quality, said study leader Jonathan Raff. Human activities such as fire suppression, fertilizer use, and climate change are causing forest populations to shift from stands of trees that do not emit these gases to those that do. Raff is an associate professor of public and environmental affairs at Indiana University in Bloomington. The report was published recently in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Using medical scribes in emergency departments is a smart way to increase the number of patients seen by doctors and reduce the time patients spend there, a new study indicates. Medical scribes do administrative tasks, such as documenting visits while a doctor evaluates the patient, printing out paperwork, and arranging tests and appointments. While most doctors find scribes helpful, there has been little research into the benefits of using them in emergency rooms and no evaluation of how their use might affect patient safety. In this study, researchers examined the productivity of doctors working with and without scribes in five Australian emergency departments. The study was published January 30th in the BMJ. For years, you've probably heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day if you're trying to maintain a healthy weight, but new research suggests that's not true. Eating a hearty breakfast doesn't help people eat less later in the day, and those who have breakfast end up eating more calories each day, the review found. Review senior author Flavia Ciccatini said we should not change diets to include breakfast eating in order to lose weight. Do what works best for you. She is head of the musculoskeletal unit at Monash University in Melbourne, Australia. The results of the study were published online January 30th in the BMJ.
Mona Illerbrand is a strong, courageous, determined teacher, animal trainer, gardener, and anything else that the situation calls for. Mona has learned so much about helping using bacteria to work for her rather than against her. And I'd just like to welcome you to the show, Mona.
Hi, Kathy.
Great to have you on the show. So can you tell us a little bit about what happened and what you learned in 1990 that changed your world?
Well, I guess for starters, my pit toilets were finally clean. I guess back to the question, 1990 was pivotal in the beginning of a paradigm shift in regards to everything I knew, or rather I thought that I knew. The intro into bacteria, coupled with my huge curiosity and the overwhelming need to figure out the whys and the how comes, led me on this amazing journey. And it's allowed me to be able to look at health, whether it be for humans or animals, soil, water, or plants, from a completely different standpoint. And so it's kind of like, rather than just seeing the tree, I get to see everything that is responsible for why that tree is able to be there and grow there and flourish. And so it's just so much deeper, and it's kind of not where most of us are at, because we see the big picture and we forget about all the little hidden gems behind the scenes. And so that was the gift that was really brought forward.
Mona, can you tell us a little bit about Burkana Farms and your lifestyle so that we can understand how you're using bacteria?
Sure. So Burkana Farms is kind of an interesting thing. I'm not farming anymore. I had a second accident in 2014, and so that all quit. But I'm still doing bacteria with everything, and it's an integral part of every day. So not only do I take it, my dogs take it, my horses take it. I use it for inoculating the pasture so that I get better grass growth. And when I was raising my meat birds, my chickens would get it, and there's really, you know, really nowhere that I don't bring bacteria into my world.
Mona, do you have a radio on in the background that you could turn down?
There is no radio here.
There's a bit of background sound. So Mona, could you tell us a little bit about why live active bacteria and what forms it comes in, why it works better? You have an analogy on your website about a community. Can you share that story with us?
Oh, I sure can. That's a pretty cool story. So we're going to try to envision, if you will, that we have two groups, and we'll go group A and group B. And so these groups are made up of a whole bunch of different people, different races, languages. And so in the groups, no one is bilingual. So it means what you have is there. And so now when we look at each one of these groups, group A, we will pretend, we'll get to work together for 37 days. And so that will be kind of like what if we envision each person in this group as being a different strain of bacteria. So now that group of people, group A, they get to work together for 37 days. Whereas group B, they're kept isolated. So they don't ever get to speak to anybody. They don't even know who's in their group. They're just kept isolated. So then as time goes on, day 38 finally rolls around. And so in the middle of the night, and we'll pick that time frame because the whole journey through your intestinal system is in the dark. So day 38, we take group A and group B, and we drop them into the ocean in different locations. And so now the question that gets asked is, so which group do you think is going to have the better survival rate? The group that had time to spend together and learn how to communicate and bring value and be cohesive in their community, or the group that's just struggling and it's every man for himself? And so that's the analogy that I kind of use, because when bacteria is in a pill or a capsule or a powder, that's basically what you're getting, is every man for himself. They don't have cohesive functioning. They haven't figured out the benefits anybody else brings to the picture. They're just busy trying to survive for themselves.
So in this analogy, it's kind of like the difference between live active bacteria and freeze-dried or stable bacteria.
And so when it's live, it's been fermented, and so there's many different processes. So your kombucha is a single ferment, and even you make your sauerkraut. And then there's like the Biosa line of products, they're triple fermented. And so what that allows is you to have at least three different classifications, because bacteria all require different things in order to grow and reproduce different temperatures. And so that gives a bigger array of bacteria, so then you get a better bang for your buck, I guess you'd say, because there's the variety for increased health.
Okay. Mona, you're talking about molasses there, and there's other herbs. Does the sugar in the molasses get used up, or do you have any concerns over the sugar in the bacterial product?
No, I don't have any concerns with the sugar. The bacteria are eating the sugar, and that's part of why you need to refrigerate it as soon as you open it, because once it's exposed to oxygen, the bacteria kind of take off in there. And so if they're not refrigerated at, say, room temperature, they can start reproducing. And so every 20 minutes, they'll double in numbers, and in no time at all, they'll eat themselves out of house and home. So the whole idea behind refrigeration really has nothing to do with spoiling or going bad in the typical sense. It has everything to do with slowing down their process so that at day 30, you're still getting the same quality that you had day one. Otherwise, your CFU count starts diminishing because they're running out of food, and then they die off. And then they eat the die-off, so it resurges again. But then there's another die-off, and so that's why it's so important to keep it refrigerated once it's opened.
Now, Mona, you're using a live active bacteria on things on livestock as well as for in your family. Is it the same strains that are beneficial in, say, a horse or a chicken or a dog or a human, or is there different strains that are necessary?
I'm sure there are, because each one of those animals does different things, but in regards to using Vitabiosa or Equinobiosa or Terabiosa for the animals, I found similar things and benefits happen to all of the animals that get it. So some of those things run along the lines of they all have better food conversion and an increase in lean muscle growth. And so if you're farming or doing anything like that, that's big news, because you're saving on feed, but you're getting an animal that weighs more. And the other thing is it really helps with respiration, and it really helps with stress and the ability for the animal to deal with their environment, so the animals are happier. And so that translates, too, if you're trying to earn money with livestock, into less requirements for your vaccines or your antibiotics and those kinds of things, because you don't have the same sicknesses plaguing your group of animals.
So you count it as a money saver rather than a cost for your livestock?
Hugely so. And so in regards to my horses, I had amazing things happen with them. When I first started, I never took before pictures, because the before and after pictures that I was looking at on the marketing little piece of paper I had, I thought there's no way that that's even possible. And so I didn't take any pictures. And it's one of the things I really wished I would have now, because I have people stopping and they come up to my house and they ask me all the time, what do I do with my horses? They just glow. And I, of course, don't get to see that because I grew with this whole change. But other people see it. But the stuff I get to notice is when I bring a new horse home or in the herd or something, typically, I'll back up. People always seem to give me things that have problems.
Yes.
and so, you know, it just helps their mind, it helps their attitude, and then, you know, in riding, their endurance is something that's amazing, as is their respiration. So in the pre-bacteria days, if I'd start climbing a steep hill in the spring, my horse would start huffing and puffing, you know, a quarter of the way up it, and I'd have to stop halfway and let him have a breather. And then by the time we got to the top, they'd have to have another breather. And so with the bacteria, it's kind of like they start huffing and puffing a quarter of the way up. By the time we're halfway up, their breathing is almost back to normal, and when we get to the top, their respiration is normal, and yet their pace never changed all the way up that hill. Mm-hmm. They're not sucking a hind tit any way on part of that journey. And to be able to see that difference in what they're capable of doing with just the addition of bacteria is amazing to me, absolutely amazing.
Mona, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back and hear more of your stories about how good bacteria can change lives on the farm.